WTOP goes in depth on the issues that affect you. It's Ask the Governor with Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley.
Any of the commuters notice? How's the ICC working?
I don't know. Let's ask people. Let's ask people to call in. Honk if you like the ICC. It was a big project.
Live from the Glass and Closed Nerve Center, your hosts Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
And to join us on the program this morning, you can call us toll-free at 877-336-1035. The number again, 877-336-1035. You can email your questions at WTOP.com. You can join the discussion on our Facebook page or send in your question via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Now with the governor, WTOP's Mark C. Graves.
Governor, we appreciate you coming in. I know it's been a busy time for all the lawmakers.
Busy is a kind word.
Yes. Let me ask you, I know everybody's been talking about it. I know you tweeted this morning about the possibility of a special session to finish the work that was left undone in the General Assembly. Tell us what you expect to happen next.
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, we had a session that was very productive on a lot of scores. For the health of the Bay in terms of the investments in water and wastewater infrastructure, controlling stormwater runoff, the septics legislation that many thought was a pipe dream and we'd never get past, marriage equality, legislative redistricting, congressional redistricting, Maryland Innovation Initiative. But the primary responsibility every legislative session is to pass a budget that is balanced with both revenues and expenditures. We have had, in the course of this recession over the last 3 years, to cut, and cut again. And this session, we asked the legislature to pass a balanced approach that included some new revenues so that we could protect public education, our number one public schools, college that is becoming and that we are making more affordable rather than less. And the legislature gridlocked in the final minutes of the session. Seemingly, the Senate was not capable of passing the compromise and consensus budget without also passing an expansion of gambling to a sixth site. And the House had the opposite problem. So whether we ran out of the political will or whether we ran out of time is something that the Speaker and the President need to ask their members, and I hope they're using these days well because we need to figure out how to address what the legislature's failed to do. Otherwise, you're going to see the counties putting together their budgets. You'll see the local school boards putting together their budgets. Tomorrow, Mark, the University of Maryland Board of Regents, where we've been able to pride ourselves on the fact that we've held the line against any of the sort of massive or double-digit increases in tuition that other states have resorted to. They'll have to decide tomorrow how they're going to make up a $50 million cut to their budget, and it will no doubt result in proposals for them to raise tuition at University of Maryland by 10%, 11%, 12%, 13%, who knows. So these are the things that are at risk here. Progress is a choice, and sometimes we take for granted that as Marylanders we continue to move forward. It's not always inevitable.
So what's the time frame on coming back and you calling a special session, consensus being reached, and this finally getting taken care of before we hit that doomsday scenario?
Well, July 1st is when the new budget takes effect. There were a clear consensus to do what many of us thought we had agreed to do in the final hours of the session, then it would be a simple process. We could come back in 5 minutes or come back in this afternoon. But that there are large bodies, and the Speaker and the Senate President need to take the temperature of their members. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to waste taxpayers' money, have everybody come to Annapolis if they're going to continue not to get this done.
More of this with the Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley and your questions for the governor after a look at traffic and weather on.
Now, more Ask the Governor with Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Here are WTOP's Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
The number to call in is 877-336-1035. If you have a question for the governor, 877-336-1035. You can email us at WTOP.com.
So, Governor, let's stay with this budget impasse. What needs to happen in order to get to some place where there is consensus that you feel comfortable calling them back into special session?
We had a budget agreement that was being considered that was in both houses. I mean, maybe one, and that was agreed to by the conferees. So we pretty much had the compromise and the consensus down here. And for some reason, it broke down. And whether it broke down due to a loss of time or whether it broke down because of a lack of trust, perhaps the consensus broke down because one side anticipated, a result that didn't come forth from the other side. I don't. Those are the things that the speaker and the president need to ask one another and ask their members and ask their caucus. I'm certainly glad
to accommodate.
Is
this a breakdown between Speaker Bush and President Miller?
Certainly is.
Did you put the onus on those two?
I think we all have a responsibility to put our egos to the side and to put the demands of special interests to the side and to focus on the public's interest, to focus on education, public safety. I mean, we've reduced violent crime by record numbers over the last few years, by doing the things that work and by supporting it, by not jettisoning our children's education as some sort of casualty of this recession that we can't save. We didn't become the number one public schools in America by accident. We did it by making record investments in education. So right now, the budget that's been passed is pretty much balanced. I mean, there's still revenue estimates and some adjustments that will have to be made. But we don't have to raise revenues. We could let these cuts stand. But if these cuts stand, Mark, after the last 3 years of cuts on top of cuts on top of cuts, I think it'll be bad for our state. I sincerely believe that we have the wherewithal and the will among the people we serve to protect the priorities of public education, affordable college, and the things that have led to Maryland having now the 9th best rate of job creation of any of the 50 states in America. Governing's a choice. It's all a choice. And we need to make better choices than the ones that were left when the clock struck midnight and the legislature turned into a pumpkin.
Now, what do you say to the critics who say that you personally didn't do enough? You didn't spend enough time in Annapolis. I think the Washington Post headline in a Bob McCartney article was that you were so busy running for president, you forgot to be governor.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in that. Bob usually has a higher level of reporting in his journalism and articles. When I met with the Washington Post editorial board a couple weeks before, they were talking about how productive the session had been and how many difficult things like the flush fee and septics and quality marriage we were able to accomplish. So I've worked every single day in this job to do the very best I can for the people of our state. And I'm proud of the decisions we've made over the last 6 years. This session ended in a way that was uncharacteristic of those prior 6 years. And I would submit to you, they were uncharacteristic of the prior 89 days of the session, where we were actually getting things done, reaching consensus, reaching compromise. I mean, the final budget was not the budget that I had submitted to the legislature.
But do you hold any blame personally yourself?
Sure. I mean, we all hold blame. I mean, we're all public servants. We serve the public. And when the public is ill-served, as we are right now, then we all share responsibility. And I certainly share that responsibility, being the chief executive. I wish we had had a different result. I can tell you it was not for lack of trying. It was not for lack of commitment. It was not for lack of time. The primary difference that upset this, I think there was some merit, and I will give credit to the Post for this. I think there was some merit in the editorial saying that
today's editorial.
Yeah, the editorial that talked about
how gambling
became the cart that was driving the horse. And I think that's true. I mean, you can have a difference of opinion. Should there be 5 locations in Maryland? Should there be 6? Should there be table games or no table games? But I don't think differences of opinion on that should have kept us from enacting a budget that protects the priorities of our people, especially when it comes to education and public safety. And that's sadly what happened. So somehow here, the two houses and I need to find the consensus that allows us to keep Maryland moving forward. We have the 9th best job creation rate in the country, and we need to continue to create jobs. You don't do that by accident.
Is the opportunity
now— We did pass a capital budget. Should not be lost. I mean, we did pass a capital budget that supports about 50,000 jobs in construction trades, and I think you know, credit where credit's due.
Is this time now where the two sides will look for consensus and opportunity for the gas tax to be revived, do you think?
I don't know.
Would you like to see it?
I'd like to see some better funding of transportation. We'll continue to pay the price in terms of increased congestion, increased traffic, if we don't address this. Whether we have the ability to do that now or, is hard to say. Sadly, when gambling became the when gambling became such an important part of the session in the last 10 days at the president's prerogative, it crowded out any more substantive discussions of what to do on transportation funding. As you'll recall, I had proposed applying the 6% sales tax to purchases of gasoline, to phasing that in over the course of the next however many years it takes, 3 years, 4 years, five, with a braking mechanism in place that would not apply that 2% in any given year when the price of gasoline spikes. And of course, this spring, it spiked worse than it ever had since the last year of the Bush administration. So it became a very difficult environment to when you combine the crowding effect of the late entry of slots.
Is that
with
dead
the gas,
now, do you think? Are you?
No, nothing's dead. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're still trying to provide a transportation network on the 23-cent flat tax that's been in place since 1991. So the issue won't go away. Whether we have the consensus and the will to address it remains to be seen.
We're going to get to your calls and questions for the governor after a quick look at traffic and weather on the 8th.
Now, more Ask the Governor with Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Here are WTOP's Mark Seagraves and Mark Lewis.
To join the discussion, the number to call is 877-336-1035. Again, 877-336-1035. Send in a question via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov, or you can join the discussion on our Facebook page. Here's WTOP's Mark Seagraves.
And let's get to some calls. We have Mike is calling in from Baltimore. Mike, you're on the phone with Governor Martin O'Malley. Go ahead.
Yes, I got a question that's been reported about the roads projects, and we need money. Why not make texting and using cell phones while driving? Why not make that a primary offense and use the funds for that?
That's a good question. I know this has been, to Kira's here with me, that issue's been in flux a little bit, right? I think we've outlawed driving while...
But he wants to know why the fines from that aren't dedicated to transportation funding.
I don't know. Let's check that out. We'll talk to the state satellite.
We had an email similar to this about photo enforcement and what your views are in the state on photo enforcement and whether that should be expanded or not.
Photo enforcement.
For red lights, speeding.
I've generally been in favor of the photo enforcement. Like anything, it's a matter of balance and making sure that it's done properly and with due process.
You know, we had the chiefs of Montgomery and Prince George's County on recently, and what they both complained about is that the state regulates what those fines can be. They're capped at $40,
right.
And they do not double if you do not pay them on time, like most tickets in most jurisdictions do. And they'd like to see, as an enforcement mechanism, the fines raised and the ability to double the fines. What do you think about that?
Right. It's like so many things that are the product of compromise in the legislature. There were many people in the General Assembly, our representatives, who felt that if that sort of authority were given to the counties, that these would move from being enforcement tools that replace the necessity of having to post a police officer at a troublesome site or a dangerous site, and instead it would become a revenue generator. And so the General Assembly put some caps on it. They did not allow the sort of escalation that you see in the other things, and they in fact, I think initially when they authorized it, there was even a long extended warning period before they could send out notices. So, hey, right, what I know right now is that traffic fatalities in Maryland are actually up, sadly, this year. We all need to be more mindful as we drive on the roads, and slowing down is one of the safest and best things that we can do.
Would you be open to allowing those fines to increase somewhat, or at least to double if they're not paid in 30 days?
I could be. Sure.
Let's get to another call. We have Wilfred is calling from Silver Spring. He's on line 6. You're on with the governor.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Wilfred.
It's evident to those who observed the recent session that the impediment to going forward with the important things came from the president of the Senate holding out for the gambling interests. So I submit, and you can agree, disagree, or hedge, that it's time for the president of the Senate, Mr. Miller, to retire. He's been in there over a quarter of a century. So that's my position.
Thanks for your call. We're all independently elected, Mark, and I have a job to serve with all people. And the public makes the decision about who we elect, and then we have a responsibility to work together to get good things done. And Senate President Miller and Speaker Bush and I, along with the men and women of the Maryland General Assembly, have, over these last 6 years, really, I believe, done some important and good things to get our people through this recession. We now have the ninth best rate of job creation of any of the 50 states, unemployment driven down, home foreclosures are at a 3- or 4-year low. So we're doing a lot of good things. We failed in this instance, and we need to get back together and figure out how we make this right.
Well, you point to foreclosures being at a 3-year low. There's a report out today that shows in Maryland, from February to March, Maryland actually saw one of the highest increases in the country, a 53% increase in foreclosures.
Well, it depends on but you have to look at the base. I mean, we've driven foreclosures down to such a small base.
In the long term, they're down. Why this spike in the past month?
I don't know. Hard to say. It's hard to draw conclusions from any one month. I can tell you that the long-term trend has been the driving of foreclosures way down. And last month, this would be good news for all of us, was the first time that we saw our median home values actually increase rather than drop compared to the year before. We'll continue to push the mediation and all of the things that we've been doing together to prevent foreclosures.
Let's get Ben from Clarksburg has a foreclosure question. Ben, you're on with the governor.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Ben.
Governor, my question is still with this mortgage refi based on this settlement with these five banks. I know I have gone through it. I've called your office. They gave me a number. I've gone through so many transfers within Bank of America. And it looks like the requirement is still very difficult and I'm wondering what instructions they've been given in terms of helping those of us that want to stay in our home. I don't want to go bankrupt or foreclosure the house, and I still don't get the help that I need to refi.
Ben, stay on the line. We're going to get your number for the governor's staff. Governor, you want to quickly answer this question?
Yeah, Ben, the settlement is recently concluded, so it's still fairly fresh. It's only been, I think, about 30 days since that news was announced. And the best number we have for you is that 1-800 HOPE hotline number, which is 1-877-462-7555. And if you hang on the line, give us your phone number. Let me try to get you some personal attention after we're off the air here, okay?
Let's take a look at traffic and weather on the 8s.
It's Ask the Governor with Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Now live from the Glass and Close Nerve Center, your hosts Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Your chance to chat with the governor is now at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. You can email your question at WTOP.com, join our discussion on our Facebook page, or send in a question using Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Once again, WTOP's Mark C. Graves.
Governor, let me ask you about an issue that's going on. It's a big story in Washington, D.C. The federal prosecutors are investigating campaign finances of the mayor and some council members. And the person at the center seems to be Jeffrey Thompson, who is a very wealthy businessman in the district and a prolific campaign donor. And as reporters have been pouring through his campaign donations, it turns out that Mr. Thompson had donated to your campaign as well. And it appears that Mr. Thompson may have exceeded his $10,000 per cycle limit. And the way Maryland law works, your campaign was the lucky campaign to be the last one to receive the extra money. What can you tell us about your relationship with Mr. Thompson and if you have returned that extra $500?
Yeah, if there's a need to return dollars, we will. And every campaign will spend a lot of time and energy raising the money to launch a campaign. And Mr. Thompson was one of those individuals who agreed to hold a fundraiser for our reelection effort, and I'm not aware of any improprieties regarding anything that he contributed to our campaign. If, as you say, he tripped the $10,000 cap or limit and he's owed a refund from our campaign, we will, of course, do that.
Do you know him personally?
I know him a little bit. I do.
Did he ever hand the book on him is that he actually likes to hand those checks, hand the money personally to the candidate. Did he ever hand you?
Well, that's not uncommon when people hold fundraisers at their home or at their office. They work very hard and they call their friends and ask them to be there. And so I don't remember that specifically, but I can tell you, Mark, that during the course of the campaign, it was not unusual for me to attend 3, 4, some days even 5 different fundraising events, and we tried never to leave until we had been given or the staff had been given the dollars that were raised at that event. Otherwise, it would defeat the purpose of going to the fundraising.
And have federal investigators reached out to you or your campaign in any way?
No,
you
haven't. Not that I'm aware of.
You have not heard from them.
Have not heard from them. I know what I've read in the paper, that's what I know, except for this new information that you just told me, which I was not aware of, a $10,000 issue.
Let me switch gears and ask you, you've been doing a lot on education, and we know that it's one of the things that you really like to focus on. There's a report out today that shows that Maryland residents actually hold the highest rate of student debt. Student college loan debt in the nation, averaging about $33,000 a person. What can you do to mitigate that? Can you explain that? Some of the explanation is that, well, there are a lot of high earners in Maryland that go to a lot of very expensive schools.
I think there are a few things that we do that are as important to the jobs and our innovative economy here in Maryland than the education of our people, the skills level of our people. We have, I believe, more PhDs per capita than any other state in the union. By any measure, we always rank either 1, 2, or 3 in terms of attainment of higher education. And that's true, naturally, therefore, of our children. We have a big problem in our country with the cost of college, which is why for the last 6 years in Maryland, we've been taking steps every session to make college more affordable rather than less. Maryland was the 6th most expensive college system in the country. We've now moved down to 23. Of course, that progress is jeopardized if the doomsday cuts that the legislature passed falls on the University of Maryland, and their regents will be meeting tomorrow to discuss that. So I think affordable college is the most important thing we can do. We do that in terms of the investments we make in community colleges, which also stand to lose a lot if the legislature can't come to consensus. We do that at the University of Maryland system. I think that's the most important thing we can do. As a nation overall, I think we need to find better ways to educate the numbers of people that we need. I think for all of the criticism of the online learning and online universities, I really think that's the wave of the future. I mean, this notion that we can continue to pay to educate kids in a sort of, you know, Harry Potter goes off to Hogwarts for 4 years is not realistic. Families can't afford that huge expense, and we need to find better ways to move. In our state, one of the most affordable ways is to go 2 years community college and then into the University of Maryland.
Let me ask you quickly. I know you've seen the video that is circulating of a man in Baltimore on St. Patrick's Day being beaten, robbed, and stripped naked on a street right, while people watch and videotape. What are your thoughts on seeing that video?
I thought it was heart-wrenching. I thought it was awful. It is not the true Baltimore. It is not reflective of the caring, generous, and kind people of Baltimore that I know. And I hope the perpetrators are brought to justice. It's Baltimore achieved the biggest reduction over the last 10 years in Part 1 crime, property and violent crime, of any of the major cities, over 500,000 in population over the last 10 years. Greater reduction in Part 1 crime than even percentage-wise New York or Los Angeles. So I hope the perpetrators are brought to justice. It was a horrible incident, and I hope that the victim is doing okay.
More of your questions from Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley after a look at traffic and weather on the 8th.
Now, More Ask the Governor with Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Here are WTOP's Mark Seagraves and Mark Lewis.
The Governor taking your phone calls, emails, and tweets. The number to dial, 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Send us an email at WTOP.com, or you can send your question via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov.
Governor, let's circle back to a question we got earlier about revenue from speed cameras and photo enforcement. You have some updated information. The question was,
This was from Mike.
Yeah, why don't you dedicate that money toward transportation funding as a way to avoid, I guess, a gas tax?
Yeah, Mike, the relative, I'm told by our able staff here who contacted the state satellite, that since the fines in the work zones were implemented, I think this is a little different from his question, though. The fines in the work zones, we've kind of veered here, but the fines in the work zones generated about $18 million since 2009. What the gas tax proposal would have raised, or dedicating a single penny to transportation funding would raise, is about $700 million. I think Mike's question actually, Mark, was the texting and the cell phone things,
right?
How much those fines were. So we'll go back to the state satellite and join you after traffic and news on the 8th. I'm not supposed to say that. Right?
Let me ask you about a political question, the race, the congressional 6th district in Maryland.
Right. Exciting race.
A very exciting race. And the candidate that you backed in the Democratic primary was unsuccessful. How does this race now shape up in the general?
Well, I think we have a great candidate in John Delaney. I know Mr. Delaney. I know him well. He kindly helped my campaign and the O'Malley Brown election re-election effort. He's a self-made business person, and I think he's very articulate, very committed, and I think he'll be an excellent candidate. And I'm looking forward to doing everything in my power to see that he's successful in winning that congressional seat. I think he'll be a breath of fresh air to the Congress, and I think that the people of the 6th District will be very well served by his representation.
Let me ask you about where the state goes now as far as same-sex marriage. It heads to the voters. Is that ultimately?
Likely. We have a relatively easy burden when it comes to petitioning measures not having to do with the budget to the voters. So this fall, there will already be the DREAM Act referendum, which in essence says that if you've regardless of where your family might be in the naturalization process, if you pay Maryland taxes and you live in Maryland, then you pay in-state Maryland tuition. The other one that will likely be on is the marriage equality referendum. We found a way in our state, Mark, to protect religious freedom and rights of individuals equally in the context of civil marriage, and I hope that the voters will approve it come fall.
Let me ask you about Governor McDonald in Virginia. The two of you frequently appear
with
one another, having both representing the governor's associations for the Republicans and the Democrats, as you both do. He came under a lot of national scrutiny for a bill that he signed requiring an ultrasound for women before they are able to have an abortion in the state of Virginia. What are your thoughts about that in particular measure?
I think that there are some decisions that government does not make very well. And I think that in Maryland, we focused on expanding access to health care for everyone and access to care to women. So I wasn't, you know, I learned about that issue from what I saw in the newspapers and the national media. I think the measures like that are counterproductive, and I don't that's why we don't do them in Maryland.
And how do you handicap his chances now of ending up as the vice presidential pick?
Oh, I don't know. I enjoy the time we spend together. I like him personally. We have strong differences of opinion on governing and governing philosophy. We focus among Democratic governors, we focus on job creation, doing the tough things that we know work to expand opportunity and bringing people together to do it now. We don't engage in the sort of culture wars or rolling back women's rights or voting rights or workers' rights. And so I haven't really thought much about the handicapping of presidential prospects.
Let's get another call in here from Ken, who's calling from Del Mar. Ken, you're on.
Hi, Governor O'Malley. Good morning.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've noticed I do a lot of frequent traveling between the Eastern Shore and the Western Shore, and my question to you is, a lot of these vehicles that are owned by the state have the SG license plates on them, and I notice a lot of them are just tooling around. It seems like a lot of them are using them as personal vehicles or speeding. I mean, there's a lot of waste going on, and it really upsets me as a taxpayer.
Well, Ken, state fleet is one item of expense that we watch and that we've managed down and that we've been, along with overtime and the other things, it's all part of what goes into making government more efficient and more effective. So if you see somebody that's on a frolic and detour, as the lawyers might say, I'd appreciate you calling them in or taking down the tag number. There are people that travel around the state, whether they're the soil conservation folks or MDE inspectors or others. If you have a specific tag, we'll certainly be glad to look into it. And your call will prompt me to go back and revisit where we stand on fleet right now as a state.
More of your calls and questions for Governor Martin O'Malley after this.
More Ask the Governor with Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Here are WTOP's Mark Seagraves and Mark Lewis.
Your final chance to speak to the governor this month on Ask the Governor, 877-336-1035. The number to call, 877-336-1035.
And we're going to put a bow on this discussion about the revenue from cell phone tickets and whatnot go in the state. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the cell phone and the texting, Mike, I don't have an exact answer for you. Our best estimate on the fly here is that it generates approximately $6 to $9 million annually. And if the legislature wanted to earmark that, if you will, as a designated sort of revenue source, they could. There's generally a reluctance to do that. But they could do that if they wanted. It amounts to about, like I say, $6 to $9 million. What we need to do in terms of adequate funding of education is transportation is in the neighborhood of $700 million.
Governor, speaking of adequate funding for transportation, a lot of local leaders are upset that President Obama, in his budget, has reduced the amount of money that the federal government had promised to give to Metro, to fund Metro. There was this deal that the federal government would match $150 million if Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. each put in $50 million. The three local jurisdictions came up with their $50 million each, but now President Obama has reduced by $15 million the federal government's pledge. Metro obviously is in desperate need of funds. Have you talked to the president? What are your thoughts about the president reducing his commitment to Metro?
Well, I've spoken to our congressional delegation about it. They certainly hold this as a big priority, and we'll work through the congressional process to restore those funds. I don't know what to say beyond that.
Disappointed that the president would go back on this deal?
Well, I think the president's under tremendous amount of feels a tremendous amount of responsibility to put forward a budget that makes some headway in bringing down this Bush deficit and getting us back on an even keel. So hopefully our congressional delegation will work through the congressional budget process and be able to restore those Metro dollars because they are needed. And Metro is making some good strides, finally, on the safety issues. I mean, knock on wood, still have a long way to go. But hopefully we'll get those dollars restored.
We had an email from a listener, and we've asked you this in the past, about an additional bridge crossing from Maryland to Virginia over the Potomac River. What is the latest you can tell us about that?
We're going to have our plate filled just trying to maintain the bridges that we already have, Mark. The notion of doing another bridge anywhere is a hard concept for me to even think about right now because we have not stepped up to the transportation funding shortfall that we have as a state. So in the past, I've said, hey, another bridge crossing of the Potomac is possible north of Point of Rocks. That won't happen on my term, certainly. And so you'll be able to ask Governor Anthony Brown that question when he comes on WTOP.
You're looking into your crystal ball already. That's how it's going to wash out. Let me ask you about DC United. Thoughts on moving DC United to Maryland, Baltimore, Prince George's?
Well, it could be. I know that issue has been floated before. We're all one big metropolitan area. The Washington Redskins play in Prince George's County, and it could be an exciting prospect. And I look forward to working with local jurisdictions if it looks like it's there's a possibility of that happening to the benefit of the people of our state.
We have a lot of callers on. Let me just go through some of their questions in the interest of saving time. Jim wants to know about license plate. Why Maryland requires a front and a rear license plate? He thinks maybe you could save some money if you do it as some states do and just require one license plate.
Yeah, the reason given is safety. That's why we have them on the front and on the back. But we did look into this issue about 5 years ago, and I believe that's how we came out, was that the cost is relatively minimal, having two plates, having one plate, and that safety is the reason that and also the forensics for police officers and tracking cars.
And then there's people that are asking about the title fee going up in Maryland. What can you tell homeowners or prospective home buyers about title fees going up?
The fees to record title to one's home?
Yes.
I'm not aware of that one.
You're not aware of that going up?
No, I think in this session that there was some discussion about looking at title and registration fees on autos.
What they're asking about. Is that going up?
That was pretty roundly rejected. We could have kind of... We decided not to go that route. In my transportation funding proposal, I proposed... the 6% sales tax being applied to gas purchases. I didn't want to divert it or look like we were trying to be cute or sneaky in any way by distributing it in a sort of salt and pepper effect over a dozen or half dozen different fees or registration sort of things.
It's a beautiful day for a ball game. Opening day. You heading over there?
I am. I'm going to be stopping by to see the Nationals play and looking forward to it. It is a beautiful day.
And rooting for the Nationals?
Absolutely.
Governor Martin O'Malley, we appreciate you coming in.
Mark, thank you.